Sean Finnegan, and you are listening to Restitutio, a podcast that seeks to recover authentic Christianity and live it out today. Last month, the Unitarian Christian Alliance put on the first conference in Europe. A mixture of British and American speakers presented on various aspects of Unitarian Christianity. In today's episode, I speak with Daisy Jones, one of the main coordinators of the event, as well as Mark Kane, who assisted in planning and in recording the presentations. They share some highlights from this year's conference, as well as what they are planning for next year. Here now is episode 561, United Kingdom UCA Conference Review, with Daisy Jones and Mark Kane. Welcome to Restitutio, Mark Kane and Daisy Jones. So glad to talk with both of you today.
Thank you.
Likewise.
Let's talk about the conference. Let's begin with the dates. When did we have this conference?
So it was the 26th of July.
Okay.
And it went on, well, if you include the extracurricular activities, it went on till Sunday. Yeah.
Yeah, so it was Thursday night to Sunday afternoon, including extracurriculars. The conference ended Saturday night.
Yeah. Okay.
What are your initial impressions, Daisy, just to start, of how it went?
Oh, my goodness. Where do I start? Well, obviously, I'm biased, but I think it went magnificently. Mark?
Very good.
We're still buzzing from it. I was very surprised at how far people traveled. I mean, I know I went on about it, but, you know, people got passports for the first time for this event. People left America for the first time for this event.
Goodness.
You know, people... Yeah, I know.
Leaving
right?
America Mark? Is a big task. Yeah.
It was. I was one of those.
Mark was one of them, but he wasn't alone. There were quite a few who left America for the first time. So that was a real honor. And we had loads of people from Europe and even Africa. It was just incredible. For me, one of the biggest surprises was our German contingent, which was huge. So we had German Germans there, Austrian Germans, Swiss Germans, other German speakers. Can I say they were very un-German? I mean, they were just breaking out into prayer all over the place. They were not following rules. No, I'm joking. But we love them. And that was one of my highlights of the conference, was this German contingent that had never met each other before. And since the conference, they've set up four separate WhatsApp groups and they are absolutely on fire. So that was one of my highlights for sure.
Yeah, the goal of having people meet, people are like, well, what does that do? Well, what it does is it inspires people to make connections and to do something the next step. And that's exactly what we were seeing. We're like, I only hope that things come out of conferences like this, but they always do. This was a perfect example of what would have not happened. It literally wouldn't have happened. They would have had to like individually email each other and say, hey, do you want to do something? But you put people in a room together and they're meeting and they're excited to be together. They go back home and they're ready to go. And that's exactly the point of a UCA conference. Connect the people, let them take the next step and do amazing things.
I mean, the guy from Uganda only became a Unitarian 4 weeks before the conference. And he found out about the UCA the week before. We had an inquiring Muslim there who was the sweetest guy. It was quite funny. He thought I was Jewish and I just rolled with it. I was like, yeah, shalom, manishma. He's like, shalom. Okay. Another guy thought I was ex-Muslim, which was quite an astute observation, because while I'm not ex-Muslim, I have worked with many Muslims. But anyway, no, it was full of surprises and we just had so much fun. And everybody there didn't know really what to expect. So a lot of people were testing the waters there, especially our Christadelphian friends, obviously, who were stepping out for the first time in eight generations. So they had a lot of grace with me because obviously they're not used to women presenting or in the front of the church, but they were all very loving and gracious with me, which was awesome. And I think it was about a fifth Christadelphians, the audience, and it was the first time they'd ever done anything like this. So it was pretty cool. And then for the rest of us who consider ourselves in that isolated Unitarian group, which includes Josh and me, because we are Unitarians in a Pentecostal church. But for the first time, you know, feedback I got was, I'm not the only heretic in the room. So that was really exciting for people. that's why I felt prompted to do something called Persecution Bingo, which was another one of my highlights, because
well,
I wanted people.
I ran that.
Okay, I'll explain it. Well, firstly, I ran it past Dale because I was like, okay, we're all persecuted and we either laugh or we cry about it. So is this super insensitive or can we roll with it? And he was like, yeah, it's okay. I was like, okay, great. So basically I asked people about 11 questions on how persecuted they were. Now, unfortunately, no one got full persecution points, but most people averaged about 70 or 80%, I think, who answered the question. So it starts off basically, your hand up if you've ever been asked if you've read John 1:1. Yeah. And then it goes, number 10 and 11 are, have you ever been thrown out of a church? And then the final question is, have you ever physically been thrown out of a church? Mm. So no one actually answered yes to the physically thrown out of the church. However, there was a man there who had been, who came up to me afterwards. And he is another one of my highlights of the conference that I will mention a bit later on.
It was a great game. I think we need to incorporate something like that in the USA conference. It was brilliant. Yeah. Brilliant.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I love the tongue-in-cheek British humor. It scratches me where I itch. I'm down here in South Carolina for the week teaching at Guthrie Grove Church of God. And yesterday I had the opportunity of leading a discussion during the lunch hour. And I was explaining to them what the UCA is and trying to describe it. Some of them were familiar with it and some of them weren't. And I was saying, like, the goal of the UCA is not really to become great and powerful and to control or anything like that. It's to be the facilitator of individuals to find each other and to find churches and to start churches. And so it's more of a medium than an empire or something like that. It's not a denomination. It's not trying to take over anything. It's just trying to connect people to each other. And it seems like this UK conference really lived out that mission nicely with these people coming from all over. Did you have anyone there from England?
Yeah, we did. I'm thinking Delroy and Brenda, who are my fellow Londoners.
Yep.
And I said it in the conference, but I had people surprising me from my past. I had a friend who's been in Trinitarian churches her whole life. She rocked up without telling me because I'd advertised it on Facebook, but she didn't even realize it was a Unitarian thing. She's had Unitarian beliefs her whole life, but she only discovered it when she was at the conference.
Wow.
Then I had a guy come called James who I hosted a political event about 13 years ago, and I haven't seen him since then, but he came along. So, yeah, I mean, it just crazy stuff. But we did have British people there.
Good.
But I'd say most people traveled, you know, for at least hundreds, if not thousands of miles away.
Wow.
So.
And what was our number? Was it 80-something that came?
Yeah, every day differed. But I'd say it was about 82 average a day.
I heard the number 88 as like the total unique individuals who came spread out over 3 days. But it's kind of approximate. Yeah. We even had the lady who walked in. This was strange. We had one guy sitting at the front desk because in the UK, you monitor people checking in and checking out for fire safety rules. You have to sign in, sign out. So we always had somebody posted at the front. And he was just sitting there during one of the sessions. And this lady comes in and she's like, I felt like I needed to come into this church. And so she came in. He explained what was going on, that it was a conference about Unitarian Christians. And she's like, well, that's interesting. I'm arguing with my son now, who just became a Muslim, about whether God is one or God is a Trinity.
Oh.
And so they... And that was like right in the foyer of the front of the building. He's discussing with just a walk-in the exact topic of the conference and gave her some materials. And she was like, this is great. This is helpful.
Wow.
And she went on her way.
There's so much history in England with Unitarianism from the 1700s and the 1800s. And it's kind of waned. But this really does seem to me, at least, to be a move of God bringing all of this together. And even somebody just walking in like that so randomly, I mean, what are the chances of that unless God is at work here? It's incredible.
A God incident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we prayed for divine appointments and they definitely showed up. I mean, there are other amazing testimonies too. We had an amazing time and I have to give a shout out to Tony Friary and his amazing family. Tony stayed the night, every night over in the church and he helped cleaning until midnight and first thing in the morning. He unblocked the women's toilets. I mean, this guy was amazing. And when I did the persecution bingo, this is a bit of a confession, because I felt prompted that he should win persecution bingo. Okay. But he was busy cleaning and everything. And I thought, well, I have to make this fair. I can't rig this, but, you know, he needs to win it. Now, because there was no clear outright winner, I basically had to choose someone. And so I thought to myself, okay, well, the person who has served this conference the most with physical hard work has been Tony. And anyway, after I declared him the winner, it turns out this will be the first time he's been on holiday in 12 years. And also, not only was he working in the place where we were gifting this holiday away, but he was also born again in Swansea.
What is Swansea? Anyway,
So Swansea is where we were giving away an all-inclusive holiday in my cottage, basically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So very it cool. turns out he was actually born again in that place.
Very good.
And we didn't know. So there were some amazing characters in that conference, is what I want to say. Yeah.
I'd like to hear about some of the presentations. Did any of them stick out, or could you mention a little bit about some of them?
Well, I really appreciated meeting and hearing from Thomas Gaston for the first time. In my head, because the book, Dynamic Monarchianism, is quite a tome, a scholarly, thoughtful masterpiece. I kind of pictured this older gentleman who, kind of like Dale, I guess, is... Don't tell him I said that. But, you know,
yeah,
just
he'll never
kind
hear
of,
this.
Kind of, no. Kind of, I just love the guy. The moment I met him, we just started talking and we laughed about stuff. And he just is energetic and young. It's like that book came out of this man. It was just an amazing thing. And he was young, I guess, when he originally wrote it. And then we redid it. What a wonderful guy. And his presentation was clear. He walked through a lot of these details. And I think it'll be a real asset to give people who maybe aren't quite up to reading a whole book yet a chance to listen to the presentation and see what it is he's presenting, how the people were biblical Unitarian or dynamic monarchians from time past.
Yeah, it gives us another label too, because I think some of us are uncomfortable with the U word, so we can call ourselves DMs, I guess.
Yeah.
As long as you don't actually have to spell out the M, which is very hard to do.
Yeah, right.
Just DMs is fine. Yeah, yeah.
How was with DMs? Let me ask you this: how was Andrew Perryman?
Amazing. He did. He was our big win.
Did he get up there and say I'm still a Trinitarian, but here's a bunch of arguments for Unitarianism?
I mean,
so funny.
No, the irony is obviously LST didn't allow us to host the conference there because of our theology. But London School of Theology. I'm speaking to you like you're British, obviously. But Andrew obviously works there, and he's an associate research professor. And so bagging him, as we say in the UK, was a big win, because basically, I mean, he did introduce himself as a Trinitarian professor, but obviously he's written a very Unitarian friendly book. So, but he wanted to make that clear, and that's really cool. And I think he's agreed to come next year. So that's good. But no, he presented his book, but in a different style. So I think his title was In the Form of a God, Jesus as a Romantic Antihero, but he changed that at the end. But it was a really interesting take, and he infused a lot of Greek into it and Greek mythology as well. So it was a very interesting talk. What do you think, Mark?
He was fun to listen to. His humor is great, and it was nice. Favorite question was about the reception of his book in the typical community, and he indicated that we may be his biggest audience. So, you know, we should
definitely
advertise his book more.
I can't imagine other Christian groups are very thrilled with a book that goes systematically through all of Paul's epistles and looks at all of the statements that could be taken to prove preexistence and shows that they're not really about preexistence, which is what he does in that book. Literally every single text.
Exactly.
And then he camps out in Philippians 2 and does a great job explaining how that would have been understood by Philippians, people living in Philippi, in the first century, which I think is just so brilliant. Any other presentations that you'd like to mention?
I enjoyed Dan Weatherall's presentation, It Wasn't God on a Cross. he used very common sense arguments, the kind of arguments that are a little harder to battle back against. You know, you could argue about the Greek or whatever, but he's using that very on the nose type of thing. Like, this is what was talked about in scripture. This is how they discussed. And it doesn't make sense if they thought God was on the cross. And then, you know, he goes into some great detail with that. But that's one of my most favorite approaches to dealing with scripture, because it leaves less to be argued about in the nitty gritty details and just faces you with information that you have to work through. He did a great job with it.
Very good.
And he gets the prize for boldest title for his presentation, obviously.
Yes. It wasn't God on the cross. What else can you say about the conference? Mark, maybe you could comment on the technical side. You were running audio and whatnot. And video and audio.
Video and audio.
This guy.
Well, it was a new experience for me, and I will admit that I was a little bit frazzled and nervous because I have not run video and audio cameras and all of that before. But we had just recently upgraded our UCA equipment, and I brought it with me. So I knew what it all was. I knew how it all worked. But still, the pressure of like, this is only going to happen right here, and I want to make sure we capture it. So we had two cameras running. I had a mixing board that included audio recording for each track. And it was an interesting experience, especially because there was a skylight right over the speaker. And as the people would talk, the sun would move. So there's like this white spot that starts to creep into the background at one point. I'm like, what do you do with that? Like, you know, anyway, it was pretty interesting. But I'm pleased that it all got captured, that we will be able to release all the videos of all the presentations.
Mark did not leave his booth the whole weekend. So that's one thing we're going to do in the next conference. We're going to have assistance, so Mark can actually breathe and actually have a break every, you know, once every 6 hours.
Well, now that I've done it, I feel a little better about it. The day two is I was a little bit more relaxed and it wasn't so bad.
So people can expect some YouTube releases of the conference presentations in the near future?
Yeah, already working on Dale Tuggy's presentation. We're probably going to go through them in order that they were given at the conference, just one in a row, and release them on the YouTube channel, hopefully every week. These files, I found out, they're huge. 61 gigabytes for just one of them, and I recorded from two cameras. But I was told by our videographer consultant, you want to get the really good quality video so that you can cut it down, you can adjust it. You don't want to start with low quality or you can't make it nice. So that's what we did.
Yep, very good. What else?
Probably the highlight of my weekend was going to Speaker's Corner. That was surreal. Honestly,
totally crazy with people shouting all over the place? That's how I
there was
it.
The people. Yeah. There was one guy up on a stool yelling about the Palestinian-Israel conflict and pointing at people like, carpet you people in this. I'm like, dude, we cannot be anywhere close to this. There's going to be knives coming out. I don't know what's going to happen. So we moved away from it. But that's what they do out there. It was just astounding. And I ended up talking with a couple people. I was in one group and one fellow was listening to one of the folks who came to our conference talking about Trinitarianism versus Unitarianism. He was a Unitarian. And he turned to me and he's like, are you with this guy? I was like, yeah. He says, I have a question about something. So I said, well, here, let's just step back. And I learned something. If you don't step really, really far away, you're just going to make a new crowd. I didn't know that. So we step about 6 or 7 feet away. He and I start talking. He asked some good questions. This was fun. And then people start gathering. And I learned that the Muslim groups that have like a cameraman team that moves around with them and microphones that they'll clip onto you, like they're making videos to be released on the internet constantly. This is just what they do. They show up, they engage in a conversation, boom, the video's out on YouTube getting tens of thousands of views. So I'm having this conversation with a Trinitarian, and I think it was kind of like a special Unitarian-Trinitarian radar that these the Muslim speakers have. He just like popped right in and boom, took over the conversation and referenced me in gesture and casually like I understood this part about Jesus, and then boom, he turns to the Trinitarian and off to the races they go. I lean forward to the guy and I put my hand on his shoulder. At a brief moment when there was a pause, I said, I think this conversation was hijacked, and he was like, yeah. So that was the end of that.
They do that all the time, but it was fantastic seeing Mark and Dale, and it was amazing. But the funniest thing is, even if you want to be on the periphery, what happened to us when we first arrived was this very tall Muslim imam came up to me And I like debating with Muslims, but my goal for Sunday was, you know, just relax, don't get involved. So what happens? The most famous Muslim YouTuber comes up to us, and I'm with Mark and Karen, his lovely wife, and Leah. And so we tag team. Anyway, that short interaction, which of course they edited all my good points at the beginning and cut it before my good points at the end, but that got 100,000 views, and they've just turned it into a short as well that's got like 20,000 today, which is slightly embarrassing, but you know, whatever. But yeah, they you know, everyone in Speaker's Corner kind of pounces on you. Obviously, the Muslims prefer the Unitarians to the Trinitarians because they don't see us as idol worshippers in their view. So, but no, it was fun. You know, it was very pleasant. And obviously, we didn't get engaged in the war chat, which is constant in Speaker's Corner since the 7th of October. But yeah. No, it was fun. And the Americans were loving it. You know, you guys were loving it, were you not?
Yeah. I've decided that if I were to ever move to London, unlikely, I would actually make this a part of my life. I would go down there and do that as well.
Wow.
Very cool.
Had an amazing conversation, which I recorded with a very thoughtful Trinitarian, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was very knowledgeable because most, you know, it wasn't all down to mystery. He had the knowledge as well. Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
Awesome. So what would you say about the future? You're definitely going to do this again next year. You're going to do it in the same place, you're going to the continent. What are your thoughts, Daisy, about all this?
So what am I free to say here, because we're hatching so many plans? No, I'm joking.
Well, I can say that the activity on the little chat where the team is working is constant. These people are tearing it up. It's amazing. I see no question in their mind that this would be a good idea to have next year. It's just a matter of logistics now.
Excellent.
Yeah, because our lovely American friends were melting without aircon. We are going to have a conference center with aircon. So poor Candice, I just remember poor Candice's face on the last day. But anyway, so we're going for a proper conference center, which will work out cheaper anyway with accommodation. And we've got an amazing deal. It's down the road from us, which we're happy about, obviously for logistics, but we're already throwing out, we've got three proposed dates. And then I also think, well, the Germans have all told me they're coming to the next one, but I also think our lovely German contingent are also going to do something either in Germany or Czech Republic or something, and also partnering with the UCA, but they might also do their own thing for a bit more freedom with worship and praise, because they were really keen on the worship and the praise.
Yeah.
And for once, it's normally me, you know, I'm a Unitarian, Pentecostal,
charismatic Unitarian,
Catholic, or whatever I am.
I understand you.
But basically, you understand me. But
yes.
But basically, it's normally, you know, I constantly need to curb my enthusiasm during the conference as the MC, you know, and it's very unnatural for me. But, you know, watching them, I mean, it was just so inspiring. So they're really keen for, you know, worship and praise, basically. And so I think they want all the lectures and the wonderful stuff with that. And I think next year we're going to be under the UCA umbrella. And also on Sunday, we're going to have maybe different options of what people can do, which is outside the schedule. So we're going to have the Speaker's Corner, but we might also, just like this time, we recommended some Christadelphian Ecclesia. We might recommend some other activities more to do with worship and praise outside of the UCA, because I think that's what people were craving. And not just the agape meals, which were fantastic. Like one of my highlights, which I haven't mentioned, was our royal picnic. But also, you know, we want to worship God together.
What does that even mean, a royal picnic?
Oh, so, well, we were planning a Unitarian picnic in the Royal Borough of Windsor and Maidenhead. And in order to do that, you have to actually write officially for permission. And they granted us permission without charging us. So that was our royal picnic. And actually, it turned out to be one of the highlights of many people in the conference. We all had a little packed lunch, pre-made packed lunch, and we all took it and went to our lovely little park in Windsor and had a jolly time.
Jolly.
Sounds amazing.
Jolly.
Yeah, the best part about
was.
That was
Mark?
The jolly part.
Oh, the jolly. Yes, there were a few things I said that were lost in translation, but I think we got there in the end anyway.
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
Language is a funny thing. Even just in my own country, there are so many regions where there are different phrases, and it's fun to hear the differences. So the conference is definitely happening next year. It's going to be the second 100%. UCA UK conference, and
100%.
Probably, what, over 100, you think, now that people have heard about it and they're telling their friends?
Yeah. So we definitely got the impression. I mean, we had one guy, there's so many highlights for me, but we had one guy who's like the Unitarian Underground Railroad guy for evangelizing Unitarianism across Europe. I mean, the guy is amazing. But we definitely sensed that people were testing the waters in this conference,
I think so.
Because it's the first of its kind. First of its kind. And that is totally cool because we didn't know what was going to happen, whether we were going to pull it off. And so now that it was a success and people agreed and they seem to be blessed by the conference, I think we've been told anyway by lots of people, they're going to come back next year. They're going to tell their little communities around Europe and worldwide. So that's really exciting. So it's whether actually the venue can accommodate all of us next year, because if we're average 82 to 88 and people bring one friend, or, you know, some people, half of those bring a friend or more of their family, then we're going to be crammed.
Yeah, well over 100. I think the facility you're looking at right now can manage 200. That's what Josh said.
Yeah.
We had
a bit of a squeeze, but people had to share rooms, those singles. Yeah, but that's fine. Yeah.
But that, I like that size because it means that it's not so big that you've got, you know, like 100 people in a stadium of thousands.
Yeah,
would be really weird. But
we're not a mega church yet.
No.
No.
What, and the other thing I like about what I like about the location that you're looking at now is the same thing that we're doing here in the United States. It's one location where you stay there and you don't have to like get an Uber or get a taxi back to your hotel afterwards. Like
You mean a Duber?
A Daisy Uber.
Yeah, that was one of my roles was Duber, Daisy Uber.
Right. And I was doing Ubers too. We had like 5 Americans at one hotel. And so we would just get a large size Uber every morning and every evening and just haul them back and forth. And we found this exactly the same thing in the United States. Like you might have the price on the actual event because you have to cover the food and the facility. But then people have to buy a hotel room. They have to either rent a car if they flew in, or they have to find somebody. You know, there's all these other expenses that you pile on besides just the cost of like making sure we have a facility and the food. And so they're looking at a one place center where you would be staying and eating and fellowshipping and visiting and all that at the same place, which is exactly what we're doing in Arkansas this year for the USA conference. And I'm looking forward to it in Arkansas. I'm looking forward to it in the UK. It's a great model, and I think it's going to be a real blessing because then, you know, the conference ends and stay and sit down somewhere and just talk into the night. It's so wonderful.
It was quite funny, though, because I made the mistake of telling the Americans that they were staying in the ghetto. So let me just explain that. So Windsor is obviously very beautiful and historic and majestic in many ways. And Slough, which is just next door, is the affordable place where you get hotels. And it's a bit rougher. But I made the mistake of telling the Americans that. And so one presenter who shall remain nameless, when I was picking him up from his hotel, he would run from the hotel to my car. And I had to say to him, no, don't worry. You're not being chased. It's fine. It's not that rough. So no, but who doesn't, you know, like risking their lives for a cheap deal? But no, the thing is that, you know, obviously I would prefer everyone to be in one place. It's easier if people aren't scouting out, you know, all the good deals. It's just easier for us to present them with a whole package, and it works out cheaper anyway. So that's our aim.
Yeah. You don't think about how much it costs to Uber back and forth until you've done it for 3 days straight and you realize, oh, that's not cheap.
Yeah, that's not cheap. All right. Well, anything else we should mention before concluding our conversation? I think Americans are just, many of us are just so eager to hear how it all went. And I think you've done a good job of explaining it, giving a sense of the international flavor and the excitement that everyone had, that there wasn't any tragic event or a big failure where Trinitarians stampeded or put signs all over saying, you know, that we're all going to hell. None of that. But we did suffer the indignity of being disallowed to use the audio equipment.
Well, originally, yes. The church, there's a second group that also uses the same facility as extra. The church is owned by one group, but they rent it out to a more kind of fundamental Baptist kind of group. Maybe a, I don't know what the style would be, but they didn't want us to use their equipment because we were not Trinitarians. But that didn't turn out lasting.
We won them over, Sean.
Oh, yeah, good.
Yeah, so they're, in your language, they're Episcopalian. They're Anglicans to us, but they're conservative Anglicans and obviously staunch Trinitarians. But not that staunch, because in the end we won them over. But and we are going to give them a little gift, because obviously bless your enemies and all that. In the end, they were wonderful. So they let us use their audio equipment. And so we've got no complaints at all.
Yep. There were several of us who were there. I and my wife, Dustin Smith, Jerry Weirwell, and then Dale and Candace Tuggy. And as far as I know, they're all going to be at the UCA conference in Arkansas. So if you want to hear more about it, or you've got some, you know, just want to sit down and think through what happened in the UK, or you want to just think about what the future is like, come to the Arkansas conference. It's at a retreat center where we will all be in the same place. It's in October, and it should be a great experience.
And that's October 17th in Little Rock, or just outside of Little Rock, right?
Yep, just to the west of it.
Mm-hmm. A little west of Little Rock, October 17th to the 20th. And we hope to see everybody there. Daisy, were you going to say something by way of conclusion?
Just to say, I don't want to sound dramatic, but I do think it was something historic that happened. People were really blessed by it. People were really desperate for it. And in the end, lots of seeds were sown. And I think we saw the seedlings before the end of the conference. So we're really happy. Thank you so much to the UCA for trusting this bunch of very peculiar people, and very peculiar, but from different denominations and from none at all, and we made it work, and it's thanks to the UCA's also trust in us. So thank you guys.
You're welcome.
Well, and also thanks for talking with me today. Well, that brings this interview to an end. What did you think? Come on over to episode 561, United Kingdom UCA Conference Review, and leave your questions and comments there. I'm especially interested in comments from people who attended this event to fill out even more details about what the event was like. I do agree with Daisy that this was an historic event in Unitarian Christianity, not because of its size, it was a fairly small event after all, but because of what it represents, bringing together disparate Unitarian Christian groups to support each other. So many of us are isolated, so many even denominations of Unitarian Christians are isolated, and it's so wonderful to be encouraged that God is at work in the world, and He is moving and bringing people together and galvanizing us into a period of building our understanding, our theology, our doctrine, but also building our communities, our connections online, house churches, brick-and-mortar churches, networks of brick-and-mortar churches, and so on and so forth. So this is an exciting time. I believe this UK conference is just the beginning of a bigger and bigger event that will grow over time and hopefully also spawn other church plants from various groups and denominations over time. Interestingly, I just checked the Spotify comments today and noticed that someone had commented in on episode 517, which is called Walking with God, and that was the interview I did with Josh and Daisy Jones. And this is what that person wrote. Such an inspiring couple. It was great to meet them in person at the first UCA UK International Conference. Thanks for all your labor for the kingdom. So this is exciting to see. I'm really excited about the Germans as well, and to see what they're able to pull together in the future, whether in the near term or in a year from now. If they want to do an event, I think that would be awesome. Speaking of events, I'm super excited about the USA conference coming up in Arkansas, October 17th to the 20th, as I already mentioned in this episode. And you can hear Mark is eagerly promoting it as well. But hopefully you can make it down and we can meet in person, and you can hear the presentations and or workshops, depending on what your interest is. And that should be a great time to encourage each other and learn together. Even those of us who have been at this for a long time, who have pursued scholarly education in universities and colleges. Even we learn at these events because we do tend to get top-notch presentations from individuals who have thoroughly studied and researched a subject. So I am looking forward to that, as well as the November conference. Don't want to leave November out. And our New Zealand Kiwi brothers and sisters, not to mention the Australians who are also coming over. Hopefully none of these Australians do any breakdancing, just saying. But anyhow, New Zealand conference coming up. You can get the information for that as well on UnitarianChristianAlliance.org. That registration is free. So if you can get yourself over there and arrange your housing, you can have a great time. And I plan on being there, as well as Will Barlow. And I know Dale Tuggy and Mark Kane. So some of us Yankees are going to be making the trip over to New Zealand, and we're eager to support our New Zealand brothers and sisters. Well, that's going to be it for today. Kind of a shorter episode. I have some content on the Kingdom of God that I am going to be releasing soon that I've just been recording down here in South Carolina. Got to spend a great week with the brothers and sisters in the Guthrie Grove Church of God, a thriving biblical Unitarian community where I was able to share about my recent book, Kingdom Journey. So stay tuned for future episodes where I'll be playing out that content. Well, thanks everyone for listening. If you'd like to support this ministry, you can do that at restitutio.org. We'll catch you next time. And remember, the truth has nothing to fear.